Welcome to CivCast, a civilization podcast focused on its social media platforms. Heather Modes.
Angel Edwidge.
José Gendron.
Troy Drew.
Dave Chen.
Diane Mabry.
Do many of you have the old game chats still? I know I still have a bunch of the chats left, and I went through and looked at them.
No.
As I was deleting some off.
I've been pretty good over time of, as soon as the server's over, to leave the group, leave the chat, archive it. But I've still got PMs saved that I haven't archived that are now over a year old.
I still have Troy's birthday booby game chat.
I have the one from my very first when I was trying to build a guild.
When you got me into the game with
I remember keeping you up talking really, really late that first game you and I were in.
That happened a lot.
I think that happened a lot with a lot of us.
Yeah. Right.
They read the
right.
Chat the next day, they're like, wow, you kept him up.
Number of times, you know, I've been kicked out of my bedroom because I was up too late typing really loud.
Typing loudly.
Yes, if you've ever heard Angel typing on Skype, it is, she's going...
I've been quiet, actually. I've been trying not to. I had to actually leave one of the chat groups that I was in because someone went to war with them. That's from my guild or my clan. And I realized it was a situation that Lurks had experienced where, you know, a conflict of interest, basically, and someone didn't leave a chat box, and there was a lot of controversy over that. And when that happened, I realized right away, I better leave this chat box. I don't want that same problem to have been here. And I really appreciate and fall back a lot on the social dynamic that we all had to experience from trial and error in Civ. It really does carry over into other things, surprisingly. I did try to leave the Civ World conversation once before this, and John G. insisted I come back.
You got chat-napped because that was when they were talking about sending you to Sid Meier's house.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Don't let her do anything that's going to get her banned somewhere else.
Recorded for episode 3 with Shushu 62, Paw Print 42, Angel Ledrich, José Gendron, and Rob G.
There's still two that are very elusive. One, only 4 players documented so far have earned. Another one, we still cannot figure out exactly what the parameters are because what it says in the list that you need to do to achieve it and what the players who actually have achieved it did are two completely different things, and nobody seems to be able to replicate the conditions under which to actually achieve it. But other than that, I think the bulk of us play because of the teamwork.
Achievements in the game and such, what is the one you most regret not getting if you didn't get them all?
Well, the only one I didn't get was King of the World.
Yeah, I don't have that one either. And I don't have the 1,000 points of light one.
That I did get.
Yeah, I think of all the ones I could have gotten was down to 1,000 points of light, and I never got it. At least tried for it, though.
Yeah, me either.
The only one I didn't get was the 10,000 puzzle swaps.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure I did it, but it didn't give me credit for them.
I'm sure you did, too.
But I had all the others. King of the World wasn't that hard because I like to go into the little small games and take over so many little countries and beat up
people. It was never clear how to get King of the World, what exactly they meant.
No, I just know that one of my guild players got it, and he had been doing a lot of small game farming. He would go into a game for a few days, take over a nation or two, take over financial minister and all that sort of stuff, play the market. And all of a sudden, the game after he earned his Mona Lisa with us, he got the King of the World achievement.
I was trying for a while, like a month or two. Yeah, I would join a bunch of games at the end and become king of little civs, but it didn't seem to work. I don't know.
I set up the strategy to try and get my 1,000 points of light fairly early, you know, when it got announced. And I would go into the small games, build the wonder events with, you know, whatever small countries were open. And then I'd leave the game relatively untouched right after I'd used up all the money that I had to buy great people and build the wonder events. So I guess I did it by doing both at the same time. I didn't even know that I got King of the World when it happened. People were giving me congratulations after a few minutes after, and I'm like, what? What did I do? They're like, you got King of the World. Nobody got King of the World. How did you do it? Really? Wow, that's cool.
I was actively going for the 1,000 points of light. We came up with something called 15 minutes of fame. You go into a server, you set up a nation, you sell off whatever you have, roll a couple of FMs, build Renaissance and Industrial Revolution if you could get it, you know, sell off the hammers, do two or three wonder events, maybe a wonder if you had the science to get whatever first level tech, and then just leave the server.
Exactly.
Be in there for 15 minutes and flip through them. But it wasn't until Grey Wolf's Broken Market game where I ended up with millions and millions of gold and could buy great people dirt cheap. And I think I rolled, I don't know, probably 300-400 wonder events in that game. And that's finally what triggered me getting the 1,000 points of light. So, and that was after, you know, I'd been doing it in my farm game as well. You know, I don't know how many wonders and wonder events I've built in the farm that lasted for almost 11 months. So.
Yeah, most of my achievements I totally got unplanned, except for the Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
Everything else was like, oh, look, I just got this. What is that? And I actually had to look it up. I had no idea. It was really an accident. And since I hated the puzzle, I never had a ton of GPs because I would just let my moves roll most of the time. And I know when Sarah and Melissa hear that, they're going to want to beat me up with a stick, but it's okay. Robin too, probably.
Robin.
Yeah, but it's okay. I liked doing mazes. So I got that really easy, the maze one. Actually, I think it took me longer than I thought when I saw it. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember seeing that. Really? I'm sure I've done more than a number of required mazes by now, but I never planned on doing any of them. They just happened because they happened, and I didn't really care about the fame and the achievements and all of that.
Yeah, I think I remember when you got the maze one. I think Ashley got the maze one right about when you did because you were playing with the chaos a lot more back then. And you guys were like some of the first. I'm like, why don't I have that yet? I was jealous. Then I finally got it.
Yeah, because of course, all of those, it seemed like Ilya hit them first.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Andre, they were machines. They just played constantly.
They never slept.
Yeah.
As I recall, Troy, you don't sleep either.
Yes, I do. I sleep quite a bit. I sleep more now. But
you were not opposed to 12-hour battles either.
So. That's the thing about being in the wheelchair. I could stay for as long as I had to.
I could do it during the day hours when I'm potty training the baby. But kind of stuck in one place too, but not quite the same.
Nope.
No.
Recorded for Episode 2 with Shushu 62, WWJD FAKB, Troy D, and Random User.
The camaraderie of, I need to show up for this battle or else I'm letting the team down, that's a very real thing. And I believe that's real for new players as well as experienced players. It is something that if you get hooked by the game, you'll have to come to your own personal peace with.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking the several chat that we've got going. I saw Angel leave the chat and Crater leave the chat. And I'm like, this is getting sad. Everybody's leaving. Everybody's leaving.
I had a moment of anger last night, actually. So I would actually like to be re-added to the chat.
Oh. Can do that.
I was really upset about something, and I leaving every group I could think of that I really, really didn't need to be a part of, and I was just leaving groups like crazy last night. So please re-add me to that chat.
Yes, I just did.
Yeah, I thought you had typed something and then poof, you left.
Oh, there it is. Hooray!
I am still in that chat. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I understand why people leave the chats if they don't know how to mute them. Because I didn't know how to mute them until the other day.
I mute stuff all the time because I can't have you guys blowing up my phone every time I go online. Which is what happens sometimes. It's like right now, you know, I'm in places where my phone is picking up a Wi-Fi, but that doesn't mean that I'm next to my phone, which means I can't actually talk to anybody. And you're blowing up my phone. You're wondering where I am because I'm not responding to you.
Well, that's why I didn't put Facebook on my phone, was because it kept doing that. I'm like, well, I don't need to, you know, all these different things going on. So now I know how to mute them and maybe I put it back on my phone. Maybe not.
I love having Heather's cell phone number because then when something would happen and I needed to contact her, they were like, we need Heather. And I'm like, I'll get her. I'll get her cell phone.
She called me on Tuesday. It's like, where do you need troops? Oh, I was just trying to polish something.
Yeah.
Rudis Learn was asking me all these questions about the battle, and I didn't know any of the answers. And I'm like, I don't know, dude. Let me ask Heather.
Yeah, I got in trouble. What was that? How long ago, Diane? About a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, and I disappeared for about a week.
Oh, yeah, you scared a lot of people when you did
that. Yeah.
I even called his brother.
Yeah, she called my brother, called my girlfriend. Kim got my phone number, so we always had a contact after that.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons that I am friended to Doug's wife, because at least if I know she's posting regular stuff like recipes and pictures of the kids, then Doug is not sitting lying bleeding somewhere.
Oh.
So he's just wandered offline for a bit and probably reading something. So
when I went to the hospital and I posted on Facebook that I was in the hospital, only like half my Facebook friends got the message. And so, you know, I'm sure I messaged Heather at some point.
I had talked to her that morning and then she had texted me and then I was texting her husband so that he could give me updates. And yeah, and then I still go on lunch and there's, you know, four people have private messaged me on Facebook. What's wrong with Angel? It's like, didn't you look at her timeline, for goodness sake, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't, and they couldn't see it for whatever reason. So I might have my Facebook on wrong or something, but it was nice to know that people cared.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it nice, Troy?
Oh, yeah, it was. It was really good. What was it, last July when I was coming home from eating lunch, and I stopped off to get the mail. I'm not even two blocks away from my house. And the wheel on my wheelchair falls off and I'm in the middle of the street, stuck out there in the sun. So I'm like, okay, what do I do? Because I promised everybody I was starting a game in about 2 hours. And I'm like, oh gosh, I'm not going to be able to start this game. I'm stuck out here in the sun. Kim was at work and I couldn't get a hold of her. And then I'm like, okay, Facebook, Mel. Okay, I tried Melissa and I don't think I got through to her, but I tried everybody I could. And I'm like, here, look, this is a picture of my wheel off.
I like the one thing you're worried about is that you've got a game that you've got to start in 2 hours. You know, your wheel has come off. And shoot, I've got a game I've got to start in 2 hours.
Well, it was like 90 degrees and I was stuck in the sun in the middle of the street. Yeah.
Worrying about.
Well, the first thing I did do was call Dad and tell him, hey, Dad, I'm kind of stuck here in the middle of the street. But right after that, then I got on about the game. But yeah, I was always worried about letting people down more than what I was going to do for myself in the game. That was a great thing. I found Brian Suzuka where he's from the West Coast. And I liked it when he could take over battles at night. Thank you, Brian. You can take over battles. That's great. People trust you too. I was so glad that he was in the last game with us. That was great.
That's kind of been one of those reassuring things. It's like, I don't have chat turned on for everybody that I'm friended to, but for the people that I am friended to, it's like, it's reassuring to see their green light on, and you get worried when you haven't seen their green light on when you should have seen it. And it goes a day or two and you hadn't heard that they were going out of town or something like that. It's like, what happened? Did they get sick? Did their internet go out? Is electricity okay? You know?
I get drunk and say something mean to them late at night. I still have the first person that was willing to friend me from Civ. He's still on my friends list. I refuse to ever like unfriend him because it's because of him that I ever talked to anyone in Civ. And he's this guy, I don't know if he's in like Finland or Norway, but he's up there. But he stopped playing Civ after about 6 months of me playing. He said took too much of his time. Invested too much.
Do we know him?
I mean, you knew somebody who wanted to have a life beside yourself?
Yeah. His name was Billy.
The first person I talked to was Jim Seeley. He joined my Civ. I was random. I had formed the Civ. And he was like, you do a much better with your city. Do you want some tips? And I was like, sure. Yes, please.
That was our way to get new players. We loved that.
And then, I played the game with him. And like in the middle of that game, he's like, well, I'm with a group of people. And then that's how I started to play with Chaos. And then he was also playing with Heather.
Yeah.
And he's like, I also have another group of people. And that's how I got introduced to two guilds.
I've done a lot of cuts to my list of people that I never really played with and had kind of friended just for spam purposes.
Yeah, I had a lot of friends from hosting so many games. I needed them in order to invite them.
Right.
When the invites worked. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I had friends from all over the place.
Yeah, same here. It was all from a lot of the first round of friending people was from Conclave so that we could do the guild tournaments.
One time my keyboard got stuck in Cyrillic alphabet.
Oh, yes. that was so funny.
So Ilya was the only one that could understand you, is that right?
And Grey Wolf.
Grey Wolf, actually. Because I was typing, and of course the H in English is not the H in Russian.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know the word in Russian for help. You know the little thing on Facebook on the right-hand side that shows you a list of people, right?
Right, right.
The only Russian speaker over there that I spoke to a lot was Grey Wolf. So I was able to go over there and click his name, and he was online. And so I was able to type H-E-L-P, what would normally be H-E-L-P, and then me. And he put a big question mark, and then I did it again. And it took him for like 5 minutes, but then later on, he was like, help me? And I'm like, yes. And I wanted to type da, da.
Uh-huh.
The D and the A in English is not D and A.
Right.
I was so upset. And all he laughed at me and he said, get a new keyboard. That's what he said.
Get a new
I think I'm going to be a divorced woman after this conversation.
Ah, he gets it.
Yeah, he does. Actually, it was his fault that I started playing Civ World. He played Civ 2 on the computer, and he brought home Civ on PlayStation, the Civ Rev on PlayStation, and I hated it. Every time he'd play that game, man, he was so immersed in Civ Rev, and I was like, you can't do anything when you start this game. And he's like, it's game of the week. I can't walk away from it because it doesn't save. And I'm like, well, that's BS. You know, what kind of game do you want to play that you can't walk away from? And then then he brings home, I have Facebook, and he has Facebook, and he starts playing Civ World. And I'm like, more Civ, really? I was like, all right. So then he shows it to me and I'm like, oh, well, I could do this. Oh, I could do this too. And he's really happy because I had been playing on the PlayStation and he really just wanted his Civ Rev back. He got his Civ Rev back. I got Civ World and all's good.
Before I played Civ, the only game I was playing on Facebook was Bejeweled and I was playing Zuma. Not anything that involved anybody.
Before Civ World, I played Farmville,
ooh,
Dragon Wars, and Mafia Wars. And not for very long on. Well, Dragon Wars ended, and Mafia Wars was never that. I was never that into it.
My 8-year-old, by the way, now plays Civ Rev.
Mm.
Yeah, he enjoys it. He gets all excited when he finds a wonder. And I get really happy. There is a part of me that gets really happy.
I haven't looked into Civ Rev.
Rommel kicks my butt at Civ Rev. He is phenomenal. And my husband was practicing for a while so that he could play Rommel. But eventually my husband was just, he's like, I don't have the time to devote to this. He's like, I'm sorry. I have to go to work. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, Civ Rev is not the same. I have it. I play it from time to time.
rather play Civ 5 on my PC than play Civ Rev.
Yeah, see, and I have 4 and 5. I have yet to complete a first game in 5, and I haven't even opened 4 yet, so.
I haven't bought 5. I've got all of the others in a nice commemorative set over here on my bookshelf. I've played them from the start, from when they first came out.
Yeah, see, I played 1 and 2 way back when they first came out, but I hadn't played it for years and years. I know my husband had had copies of 3 and stuff like that, but been ages since I had played a real Civ game before Civ World got released.
Yeah, when Civ World got released, I was like, okay, I know I'm going to go into computer world for a long time.
I played my first game, I'm like, wait, don't I need aqueduct technology? How can I build bridges?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
How can I develop any technology? I don't have a city. Where's my city?
That was always one of the biggest questions I got when I'd bring a noob into Civ. How do I make more people? I was like, apples. You need more apples. I can't get any more apples. I have no more gold. Yes, I know. Just, why did you buy them at 500 a share? Yeah, what were you thinking? We actually have like a kind of resource trading that goes on in the other game I play. And again, I just compare everything to Civ World.
I just did a search on YouTube for Civ World.
Yeah.
One of the videos, review of Civ World. Worst civilization game ever. Really?
Right. Yeah. That was a lot of people when the announcement came up that they were killing the game and people were like, well, it didn't die long ago. It was the worst civilization game ever. And, like, you didn't really play the game. You didn't know it.
Right.
You probably went and got an indie.
Yeah, exactly. The first time they played it, they thought it was Farmville, and they quit, like I almost did.
Or they actually were watching the tutorial and thought that you had to play for yourself, which wasn't actually how the game ended up being useful to anybody. I mean, there were some players, yes, but I would say probably 95% of the players that I know wanted to play because they wanted to be part of a team, you know, and they wanted to be a contributor to the whole.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, we all learned that the most effective in the game, the team was absolutely necessary. If you weren't part of an active team, you weren't going to be effective. Not if there was another team in the game. There's no way that one player can face a team and win.
As long as that team was talking to each other.
Right.
And as long as the one player wasn't somebody like Doug.
Recorded for Episode 7 with Pawprint 42, Angel Ledwich, Shushu 62, and Dave C.
And I must admit, I'm going to miss those little puzzle matches. I mean, I know you can go find those puzzle matches elsewhere, but it's just not the same. I'm not getting plus 25 to everybody on my team and able to sell it for gold. And really, to me, this has always been a market simulation game. And this has been a fascinating economy to watch over 3 years. I remember when I first joined the game and Churd was just pissed at me when I would talk about how the market had set points, you know, 500 for hammers, 400 for food, 200 for beakers. And he kept saying, no, it depends on who sets the price at what. And I still think he's wrong. I mean, back then, if he had tried to set the price for hammers at 100, he'd have run out of hammers in no time at all. And yet the game has evolved to the point where, you know, you could actually sort of make a case for harvesting gold because often, you know, the market prices, even hammers tend not to get above 150 for long periods of the game at this point. The markets are that competitive.
No one wants to let anyone get an edge in the market.
Especially not Greywolf.
Well, it used to be a huge thing. I mean, back when I was doing single-person gold strategies, selling hammers at 500, I mean, I'd pop eras, 2-3 eras in one day.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder when you're selling hammers for 150.
They're all players that know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa asked me to play a gold game, and we were playing a gold game against some Fenris players, and we got up to 2 million pretty quickly. But when Ilya was first doing his gold strategies, he was doing it when everybody was fighting wars and people would build a CTA or a secret weapon at the drop of a hat. And so folks were cycling up golden ages left and right. When you're playing in a game with 20 people and only 2 teams are actively playing, those golden ages don't cycle up anymore. You gotta force them to come up yourself, which is part of why my strategy wasn't just golden age. It was also getting 200,000 beakers banked up so that if a golden age came up, you would get a gold era. And if a voyage of discovery came up, you'd get a tech era. And then the third leg of the stool is that's also why you would attack everybody, is because you've got so much more gold than everybody else, you'd inflate all the prices out of everybody else's price range, and you could buy a bigger army than anybody else. She invited Hannah to join our sieve so that we could do some Nazgul mazing. Only 3 people isn't enough to do Nazgul mazing. You need enough so that you've got critical mass, so every maze generates enough. But what adding Hannah did do is now it took 3 great people to cycle, and that was just the death. I love Hannah, but she's not worth an extra great person for mini wonder.
On that note, I'm in a domination with 5. I don't think that's going to work, but we're going to see what's going to happen.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah. Originally, it was just Adrian in there, and then he said, join my domination. I said, okay. And then last time I logged in, it was some other guy. I don't know who that is, Daniel. And then I was like, well, our domination is now ruined. We have 3 people in there. And then I said, bye, Mika, come and join. He said, okay. So obviously it's shot out the window now. But now Heather's in there too. So I'm like, well, you know, it'll be fun. Oh, I wish Heather would stop posting things like the mazes. It's making me sad. I can't believe that maze is making me sad.
I know. Oh. Heather Pritchett, right? I have a whole folder of,
so do I,
of Civ maps and Civ snips and images, and it's like, wow, okay. It's at the speed I was mazing, you know, I had at some point at the end of a like a half hour of mazing, I would have 10 different maps on there. Do we know how many people actually called and left a message? I know I saw a lot of updates on that.
I had to write it down though. Again, I was going to ramble and I knew it. Don't you ramble when you get on a message machine on someone's phone? Don't you guys end up rambling? It's embarrassing. I can't be the only one.
No, I know what you mean. Definitely know what you mean.
You have reached the voicemail of Polycast, Bondcast, Revcast, Civcast, and Turncast, the Polycast family of entertaining and informing civilization podcasts at thepolycast.net. If you leave your name, username, and message, your call may be used on an upcoming show, and you may even hear back from us directly. Keep on Civin.
Keep on Civin is the end of the message, really? This is Heather Pritchett. That's not to be confused with Heather Moat. And I'm not sure how long I've been playing Civ World, but at least since September 2011 when I joined up with the Civomaniacs. Before that, I was just kind of playing by myself. I was just jumping into different random games and finding like the second biggest Civ or the third biggest Civ. and opening up the nation chat to see if I could get anyone to talk to me so we could actually win something. But one random game, I jumped into the Maniac Civ and opened up the nation chat and wound up playing with them and then got invited to join the guild. I've never been a part of an online community before, mostly because people are awful, and they're especially awful on the internet. But I picked the right Civ, and I wound up getting involved in the Civ World community, and it's been pretty fantastic. And it's hard to believe that the game is dying. You know, I've been playing it for the whole year that I was unemployed, and I couldn't find a job. And when I started playing it, I was just dating my boyfriend, and now I'm getting married just a couple of weeks after the game ends. Now, when I've got free time, I guess I'm just going to have to go back to playing Bejeweled and wishing that I was playing Civ World. And I guess Keep Civing isn't really all that bad. I just wasn't expecting it. Goodbye.
Hi, my name is Angel Ledwich. My username is Angel Ledwich. Just calling in my favorite moments of Civ World. This wasn't a game that you could have one favorite moment, but it was a game that presented so much to so many people. If you had the time and energy, you had more than the opportunity than just a chance to get a good caravan score or a completed puzzle or a good mini game bonus. You could potentially change the outcome of a game for your team's advantage by taking advantage of an auction that came up or two. And by watching or playing the market, you could play your opponents. You could steal a financial victory before their very eyes and drive them all crazy. I knew players that only liked to log in for battles for the thrill of battling the other Civ, for beating them potentially, outsmarting them. Others that would log in for battles just to take advantage of the rising hammer costs, and they would sell all their hammers and make lots of money on the market. But narrowing down to any one of my favorite moments in Civ is near to impossible. The experience of getting up early for a battle or staying up late to help a team was thrilling. It was great to feel a part of something greater than ourselves. It was satisfying in a way that I had not felt since I was doing work that I enjoyed in theater. In the downtime between auctions or tech treeing, when others would log in, which was often for us addicts, we had the chance to talk almost as if by the water cooler at a job. We would share what we had planned or done that weekend. We would share stories of our past that might be helping a teammate through a current crisis. We suffered as much as we could virtually with our friends when a family or a friend had lost their lives, and I realized that the possibility was there that I could lose someone else that I had integrated into my daily life, that I had invested myself personally to. And I'm not the only one that experienced the great bonds of friendship through Civ World gameplay. The loyalty that formed with repeated teamwork built lifelong friendships among us many. And for many of us, it reminded us that we are not alone, that for whatever reason, we are available to log in countless hours online. We had others like us, and we enjoyed and celebrated our arrival online. Can you imagine if every time you walked into your job, everyone was really happy to see you, really excited to see you? It made you feel so vital, feeling so satisfied. I know there were times of great frustration in the game, but we returned day after day looking for that next rush of adrenaline. It was very addicting. That next chance to flex our prowess on the virtual game field and do something useful was all we needed. It was the only reason we needed to log in. I stopped even, you know, reading Facebook groups, you know, things that people would post. I just went straight into the game. And the terms Civ Widow and Facebook cooking became popular coined phrases, as did sleep deprivation and fame whore, indie player or noob. I guess my family and friends thought I was a bit obsessed and crazy. They couldn't conceive how I could come to enjoy online games so much. And even though I'd try to explain it, it was more than a game to me. My words fell on disinterested ears and disbelieving eyes. They really thought I had lost it. And I was starting to doubt the reason I came to Civ and stayed countless hours of my life there, until I spoke with my grandmother. She's 88 years old, and it was her birthday, and I called her, and her and I talked about daily stories of kids and house and husband, and her and I being the kindred spirits that we are, she asked me, "Do you have something to keep your mind active?" And I full on laughed. I laughed for so long. I think she thought I had lost it. And I said, yes, I had found something to keep my mind active. I didn't go into what it was. Again, I probably felt that she wouldn't believe what I was spending my time on. My mother tried in vain to convince me to quilt or knit or learn a new language. I had been fortunate enough to meet enough French speakers in Civ World that I got to actually practice my French. But ultimately, this game dragged me from a daily routine that, while pleasant enough in nature, had become a daily toil. Civ World kept my mind active. It kept my social life from all but disappearing. It made my staying at home, frugality reasons, bearable. So I guess my favorite story or my favorite portion of this game falls down to the people that played it. People that played with me, the people that played against me. They captured my imagination. They kept my mind active. So thank you, Civ World. Thank you, all the great people that played it. Thank you for saving my wallet, because I didn't spend all my money on Civ books. And thank you for saving my mind. Talk to you all later. Bye-bye.
This is John G. These are some of my recollections for the final Civ World podcast. One of my first memories was stumbling into a small game with Arthur and Chris Yaden of the Civilized Rulers, and they were saying in chat that they couldn't try to break the game with people watching. This was something I just had to stay and watch. Perhaps my most enduring memory is of the first guild game. There were a lot of guilds turned up when the game started. No idea there were that many guilds active in Civ World at the time. I remember that Team USSR seemed to have a lot of players in it, but not many of them online. And as the day went on, more and more players from Russia, Team USSR, would log in. As the time zones moved across the USSR, and they woke up and logged in, until you suddenly realise that all those players really were active players, and they were playing together. The most memorable part of the first guild game for me was seeing the full Civilized Rulers team in action. All logged in together, doing Voyage of Discovery and Golden Age, and making the most out of them, and all calling out mazes, and all of a sudden they were popping sciences and gold everywhere. If you didn't understand the game well enough, you couldn't understand how they were doing it. So, as most of us are new to the game, a lot of the people said, cry cheat, but really it was something to behold. People knew exactly what they were doing that early in the game, and how and a real eye-opener seeing how effective it was.
First time I listened to the Polycast, I had it on my kitchen table, and the kids were down, and I had nothing else to do that evening. And my husband walks past and hears me listening to this conversation on Civ World, and he shakes his head, and he goes, "You have truly slipped into geekdom now."
Yeah, when I told my girlfriend about the first one, she's like, "Okay." And who's going to listen to this?
Well, my husband plugged in his iPod on the computer the other day, and it downloaded the podcast on it. And he's like, "Why do I have all these things with people talking about a game?" And I'm like, "Well, I guess they're all podcasts, honey." And he's like, "Huh?" And he actually listened to one, and then he just looked at me. He's like, "Geeks, you're all geeks." Yes. Thank you. We're all nerds. We're all geeks. Thank you.
I wanted to have a fireball shot with Diane.
You got some?
I have whiskey, but I know you like your fireballs.
You know what?
What?
Can I excuse myself for a minute?
Yeah, she's going to go get You know, I always wanted to make Civ a drinking game, but there were just too many ways that, you know, like every time I lost the caravan, I would take a shot. Well, you know, I lost caravan all the time.
Then you definitely wouldn't be able to maze.
Wouldn't be able to maze.
The angel, I got my shot.
All right, all right. So, is anyone else going to do a shot with us?
I have no alcohol.
Well, I'm drinking
beer.
Wine.
What can we make Heather do? Heather, you have to do 10 push-ups.
Got iced tea or something? Some amber-colored liquid.
I drank all my root beer earlier.
Ten of mine. She can do the chicken dance for us.
Alright.
You guys ready?
Yeah, here's the Civ.
Cheers.
Civ World.
Cheers. Bottoms up.
Thank you so much, everybody, for joining the cast. I'm glad we got to finish this, and I'm sure we'll find another occasion to talk again.
I'll see you guys later.
Good night, everybody.
Bye, good night.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Record date, June 1st, 2013. Civilization World Sound Clips, copyright Take Two Interactive. Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.